£2.5 million a year is what Belfast Zoo costs you, the ratepayer of Northern Ireland. Now, two different discussions this morning. Is it good value for money? Well, I guess there are a number of discussions. Is it good value for money? Is it humane in this day and age to lock up animals? Let's speak to the Sinn Féin councillor, Conor Maskey, who has called for the site to be transformed into a world-class visitor attraction. Good morning to you, Conor.
Morning, Steve.
What type of attraction?
Well, we're looking to go out to, you know, the public ideas for a type of attraction. One of the better ideas that I heard came from North Belfast historian John Gray, who proposes, and he's only one person. I mean, let's see what other ideas come back. But he's proposing keeping, you know, like we all are, some sort of high-class conservation program with some animals there that will pay for itself by some adventure activities. His proposal was zipline, stroke, dry ski slope type activities. So
ziplines for the animals?
No. For visitors to use some of the site in some other activity way, if you know, and then that type of payment at the end of that would help pay for some of the other. So these are just other ideas. What we're trying to do, Stephen, is to enhance the experience for three groups. One, the animals. Two, the ratepayers, that they don't have to fork out this money each year. And three, the visitors. There has to be a question that we all ask ourselves about why visitors aren't using the site currently in such a way that to break even. You know, so why is the model not sustainable presently? And what do we do about it? So that's what we're just trying to open up to.
Sure. I get it. And you've cited someone else's view as to what we should do with the... Basically, it's a human adventure park is what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's what
with a few animals thrown in, though. But what have you any ideas?
I'd say that everyone will have ideas. The key thing,
what's yours?
The key thing for us in the motion, Stephen, is in democratic Belfast, is to put those ideas out to the public. Let's see what comes out from engaging with the union staff, the public. All of that was in the motion. I believe that we can enhance what's done best up there in terms of conservation of animals that are suited best to this climate and this terrain. Now, there is a you have to then also look at the other animals that maybe question. We have to ask ourselves: are animals that aren't naturally suited to this climate and this terrain best suited in Bellevue? And if that question is no, we have to ask ourselves, well, what can be done or what should be done? In some cases, you can't really do anything because they've been there for so long. But in other cases, there are examples in Kent from the Aspinall Foundation of how you might be able to, in a caring way, deal with animals that in this present day and age, let's say, it's probably not in keeping with modern times.
You're getting into emotive territory when you talk about animals, because people care a lot about animals, don't they? What type of animal do you think is suited to being in a zoo? Like you were talking there about animals that aren't. What type of animal is suited in this day and age to being locked up for our enjoyment?
Well, I think there's a broad question that has to be asked around our enjoyment, Stephen. You know, that it is 2020, is the caging of animals simply for entertainment purposes an ethical way to treat animals?
I know that's a question, Conor, and I'm not trying to be cheeky, but that's the question I'm asking you, and you're putting the question back to me. What's Sinn Féin's view on the caging of animals in a zoo?
Well, we can be a view that's reflected in the motion about moving radically on the zoo. But let me tell you where some of this has started to come through with my own thinking. I mean, I listened to maybe one of your radio shows before when I think Councillor Chris McGimsey might have been on around the death of three giraffes. Now, when I listened to that, I firmly believed that those deaths were completely unavoidable. Don't want to go into the detail because for some it probably gets quite upsetting. And that's only one category. There are what we need to do is get a report, and I'm glad this goes back to committee because the question you've asked can be answered in its totality by a very detailed report on each and every species, each and every animal, how long they've been there, what their current, you know, condition is. Have some of them who you and I might think, God, they're best suited in Africa or Asia, but are some of them there long enough, too long, that you simply can't do anything like that with them. And that all needs to be done on a case-by-case basis.
But that would beg the question, wouldn't it? And look, I think it is for the Northern Ireland community to contribute to this debate, so I get that. But I also think it's fair to ask what Sinn Féin's view on it is. If you're saying, look, it might be too late for some animals, essentially because they've been used to being locked up all their lives, that they wouldn't be able to maybe forage for food if they were released into the wild or things like that. But that begs the question, Conor, as a matter of principle, do you think we should stop introducing new animals to the zoo so that in 20, 30 years' time, we haven't created a whole new generation of animal that knows nothing but being locked up? What is your party's view on that?
I think that's a very good question.
Has your party formed a view on it?
Where we've come to on that is that, and this is why we've kind of, people maybe accuse us of being too strong in the language, and I want to deal with that at some stage if you get a chance, because we'll amend some of the language to address some people's concerns. But one of the reasons why we're pretty strong is we need to ask the question about whether the current practice for some species and some animals of caging, primates especially. I've seen reports from universities about the effect of their interaction with humans has on their mood negatively. So there would have to be a question about what you do with current animals, and then a question, which I think you're very right to put, about what happens next.
Yeah, but I'm putting it, and you're suggesting your party has a strong position on it. You're not giving me your party's position.
What I'm saying, Stephen, in some cases there would have to be a question and an answer that says, in some instances with some species, you just don't reintroduce them to that type of environment.
But presumably, before you put through a motion like this, you would know what species?
The motion is there in order for the experts to come back and show everybody. And there's been multiple reports. I mean, I mentioned a local historian. I don't want to personalise this too much. He has done a fantastic research job in all of the papers. Now, I'll furnish your programme with them after this so you can go into detail. Of all of the times that Belfast City Council has made decisions in these matters, including looking at species, including looking at endangered species.
Well, let me give you...
Of which, by the way, there's only 15% of the current animals up there are endangered. There's 85% that aren't. So all of this needs to get thrown...
Is it fair in your view, or in Sinn Féin's view, if you're talking about half of the party this morning, is it fair to lock up elephants?
One. I don't think so. But and I'll tell you about the current site. Every site is different. That's the main thing here too, Stephen. So we need to be. This isn't a straightforward issue. It's very complicated. We need the experts to come back. But let me tell you a statistic I heard yesterday. The natural terrain or the natural walking environment for an elephant is something around 1,000 square kilometres. Up in the Bellevue site, they have two-thirds of an acre. So I put the question back to yourself or anybody else opposes it. Do we think that the current condition for elephants in Bellevue is suited to elephants? When I heard that...
And are you saying it's not?
I'll ask the question back. If their natural environment is 1,000 square kilometres... But they're only getting two-thirds of an acre, we need to ask ourselves that question.
You've asked yourself that question, you're frustrating me this morning. If you've asked yourself that question, what's your answer? Do you think the elephants in Belfast Zoo should be removed for their own welfare and put elsewhere?
Where we are right now, Stephen, is a report going through the committee phases, and the reason why I'm hesitant to go on where you want to take all this is that this now allows for every single councillor in Belfast City Council to have an informed, expert-led discussion on what happens with each and every species.
That's fair enough. There's also a kind of big picture ethical question for Belfast City Council, isn't there, as to, you know, are zoos in their current form in a modern day age appropriate at all?
And that is a question that we'll face through this committee process. And I'm glad that it's a question and a debate that started, and a very informed one will take place. I'm very enthused by looking, and there's only a number of examples, but the one I mentioned earlier, the Aspinall Foundation in Kent in England. Well, they basically, a gentleman inherited two zoos from his father. He completely and utterly changed them. His personal view is that he doesn't like the concept of zoos as it sits. So what he did was, he was able to get some animals, he did a process like we're trying to encourage, and in some cases he was able to release some animals to reserves, to carrying parts in the climate that they're used to, whereby they're not under any threat. So not the wild, there's no suggestion. That's one of the wording that I think, if, on reflection, I'd have preferred to have got it a bit better. We tried to do that last night up until 5 to 6. It just didn't work out, but we'll get there through the process.
Nuala McAllister, the Alliance Party councillor, has contacted us this morning, Conor. I think she wants to challenge you about something. Good morning, Nuala.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Nuala.
Good morning. Look, I just actually want to highlight that I would welcome some of what Conor's saying and his recognition that there does need to be a change in the language put forward, you know, in the motion last night. And it was good to see that every party since then has come out in support of not closing the zoo. And that was the big fear here, that there was simply this possible closure of the zoo. And, you know, in this day and age, it would be fantastic to say that zoos are absolutely not needed, they shouldn't be there, but unfortunately there is a place for them. And I have been part of the conversation about what would the future of our
why is there a place for them, definitely,
like?
Why?
Pardon?
Why is there definitely a place for them?
Well, there is a place for the zoo, and I do
why?
Believe, and experts believe, because whenever we leave animals in the wild, us humans, it is humans that are actually destroying their natural habitats. It's humans that are poaching them. We don't protect them enough to actually leave them alone in the wild.
Okay, so would
they can actually nurture themselves.
So would you restrict Belfast Zoo to only being able to have animals who have no better place to be?
No, I wouldn't, because the
then that defeats your last principle, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't, because the ones, for example, in Northern Ireland, the ones that we do nurture that are unwell, for example, but you're talking about large Roman animals, you're talking about
yes, I am.
Giraffes, about the gorillas and the elephants.
Yes.
But there is an honest conversation, and our staff at the zoo, and indeed our zoo manager, are open to that conversation around what happens when our elephants go. Do we simply just put in a bid for more elephants? That's something that I don't think that anyone says, yes, we absolutely should do that. That needs to be a serious conversation. But for the animals that we do have there are rescued, the elephants are rescue elephants. Some of the other animals that we have are part of the European breeding program. That's something that I do believe that we have a responsibility to take on. But the zoo needs investment. And Conor is right on that one, alongside every other party in council, that it needs investment. It needs decisions made around the long-term sustainability of it. But we do have to get our language right, because we can't even put in the timeline of 5 years, any animals that shouldn't be there can't be there. It's not appropriate.
Do you want to respond to that, Conor?
No. Well, I mean, yes, it's the language. Even Nuala's interpretation of the original motion isn't right there. But we'll get that right in the process. And I'm glad that, just to reiterate, that it's come back to the committee, that we can all have that informed discussion. There's a technical problem in council. Don't want to bore your listeners with it, but there should have allowed an attempt to change that wording last night. So we were all would be in a better place today, but we'll get there.
Okay, Conor, I know you have to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Indeed.
Sorry, Nuala, I want to come back one last time to, if an animal is not endangered, why should it be at the zoo?
Because there are animals that are on the risk of becoming endangered. Now, I would take the advice on this from experts, and that's why I have. And I'll be honest with you, Stephen. I came from a place many years ago that I thought all zoos must go. And I actually sat and I listened to experts say, you know, these are people that absolutely adore animals. They want to keep animals in their natural habitats, and they want to make sure that we protect habitats. But they say unless that we are able 100% to do this, then we can make sure to actually help, for example, with breeding programs, that we'll see the eventuality of animals, actually more populations in the wild. Now, that's not to say that in Belfast Zoo we must have every animal under the sun. That's not realistic. But when you look at, for example, our Barbary lion that we have at the zoo, they're extinct now in Morocco. So what do we do with that? Is it a big moral question, that is it better to see all animals become extinct than to actually help in the process of keeping them alive?
I think one of the other questions staring you in the face is, you're justifying keeping open a facility which is costing the ratepayer $2.5 million a year, when we've got human beings sitting on waiting lists, potholes in our roads and our kids not having enough resources in our schools?
Okay, well, Belfast Zoo is under the control of Belfast City Council. Belfast City Council does not control any of those other issues. So, you know, even if we didn't have the zoo, whilst we might
it's
love
that. £2.5 million. It's £2.5 million.
And that's why I've actually been one of the councillors that has been leading on this issue to create long-term sustainability. But other parties, and including Sinn Féin, I will add, that when we have brought this issue up, we've had independent experts come in to say, look, these are the options that you can look at, but you have to be realistic and have them all on the table if you want financial stability. And that needs something. We need to be realistic. We need to show leadership and be responsible and say, well, let's look at what we can do for further investment.
Have a listen to David Newton Abbey. Morning, David.
Hey, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I was about to speak to Colin there, but obviously he's away. But I don't have a problem with it. You have a membership card there. I take 3 euros some months a week, sometimes twice. And that's his big thing for the week, is to go to the zoo. But, you know, the council has let the zoo go in a bad state, I suppose. I've been to Dublin Zoo, been to Edinburgh Zoo, and there's nothing wrong with Belfast Zoo. I speak to the zookeepers, they love the animals, they do everything they can for them. It is what it is, it's a conservation project. So I don't know what, has Connor got a problem with the zoo? You know, I watched the debate last night, the council, online, and listened to him this morning. I don't actually don't understand what his problem is with the zoo. What is his problem?
David, thank you. Robert next in Belfast. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. I heard Conor Maskey on saying about it's costing the ratepayers £2.5 million to keep the zoo open. I'd like to put this to all the relevant people.
What's you?
Simple. Sorry?
It's you.
Say it again.
It's you.
Who else would it be?
Where have you been?
Where have I been, Stephen? You phone in some of these radio stations, they don't phone you back, Stephen, you know.
I'll have a word with my people.
Yeah, there's about time too. Rightly so. Now, getting back to it costing the ratepayers £2.5 million. Why not send out a survey to the ratepayers? A simple question: do you want Belfast Zoo to stay open or close? Because the bottom line is, it's the ratepayers paying the money.
Well, what do you think? If you were asked,
what do I think?
Yes.
Obviously, it should be kept open.
Why?
And I agree with Nuala that out in the wild you've got all these poachers and all these profiteers killing the animals. At least when they're in Belfast Zoo, they're getting looked after.
I was wondering if you were actually calling us about another story we're doing later on, the Green Party calling for taxis to be kept out of bus lanes. I thought that's what you were calling us about.
Taxis kept out of bus lanes?
Aye. That's what the Green Party is talking about. We're doing that story later on.
Well, you're welcome. You can talk now about it or you can talk later, but the choice is yours, Mr. Nolan.
What do you make of the Green Party motion? It's now being referred to the City Growth and Regeneration Committee, no less.
Well, are they talking about all taxis or are they talking about wheelchair accessible taxis?
It's Class A taxis they're talking about.
Class what?
Class A taxis. Can you not hear me this morning?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Well, we're Class B, Mr. Nolan. We're wheelchair-accessible taxis. We are in the bus lanes.
Yes, don't I know it?
And rightly so. So the point here, Mr. Nolan, is all these Class A taxis, why don't they get wheelchair-accessible taxis? You've got all these big companies saying they're catering for the public. If somebody in a wheelchair phones these big companies, they haven't got a taxi for them. At least we create a service. We cater for the able and the disabled, Mr. Nolan. We cater for everybody.
And getting the road
collective,
you also
the big companies.
You also get in the road of the buses.
Sorry?
Is he just trying to wipe me up? You also get...
Sorry, what was that about the buses, Mr. Nolan?
You also get in the road of the buses.
No, the buses are, like ourselves, part of the transport system.
They're not like yourselves. The buses are buses. You're not a bus.
What are wheelchair-accessible taxis?
It's like
Mr.
saying
Nolan?
It's like saying I'm a penguin. I am not a penguin. You are not a bus.
I know that for sure.
What do you want?
He's trying to wind me up.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He just can't hear you.
No, he can hear
me. Is that a problem when a caller to your program asks you to repeat yourself? Sorry, are you above that now?
He can hear me, and he's pretending not to be able to hear me.
Why would he do that?
In order to wind me up.
Robert, I apologise on behalf of the BBC.
Mr. Nolan, now, you know what I mean? You're fond of peaches in Little Italy and Amelia Street. You love them peaches.
Is that when you were double parking one day?
Robert caught me double parking around beside
you. You wouldn't park on double yellow lanes, Mr. Nolan, would you? I don't believe it.
Let's let him answer, Robert.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, can you not hear him now?
No, I can't.
Robert, would you like to repeat your question?
I thought Mr. Nolan was a campaigner against parking in double yellow lanes. And then parking outside a busy premises, Little Italy, and restricting their business and dandering off somewhere for an hour and then coming back again. Mr. Nolan?
I don't think I've ever been accused of restricting pizza companies' business.
Did that happen? Look at the way he didn't answer that question. Did that happen?
I contributed.
Robert has asked you a question.
Well, I couldn't hear what he said.
Robert asked you if that was you.
I couldn't hear
parking
what he
illegally,
said.
And would you like to answer him?
Robert, thank you very much indeed.
There you go.
You're very welcome, Mr. Nolan. Give that Little Italy a wee turn there with bad pizza in it now again, seeing you've done their business over an hour one night there a while back, you know.
Imagine a zoo with Robert in it.
Imagine a zoo with you in it.
Tim Hedgley is joining us this morning, the commentator and travel writer. Good morning to you, Tim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, and the animal rights campaigner, Daniel Barkley. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. So, Daniel, last night, we Sinn Féin's council motion on the future Belfast Zoo, it's been referred now to a subcommittee for consideration. We know that the zoo costs the ratepayer £2.5 million a year. Conor Maskey from Sinn Féin's calling for the site to be transformed into a world-class visitor attraction, which would not include what he describes as the wrong and unethical practice of displaying caged animals. Daniel.
Yeah, so when I saw that hit the press, first thing I did was phone Conor because I agreed with a lot of what he was saying, but he was falling foul of issues that Chris McGimsey and myself fell foul of when we first raised this issue about 5 years ago. Closing the zoo, just for every political party out there, everyone that responded to the media, is not an option. It's not what's being asked for. The zoo will remain open. The zoo animals, if they need to, will stay on site. Their standards will be met as they are now or bettered. Conor, on speaking to me, has accepted that some of the wording was maybe needed to change. He is more in line with the proposal that I put forward to the council a couple of years back, where we cover biodiversity, we cover conservation.
Why does the zoo need to stay open?
I think the zoo should stay open because it is the zoo can do excellent work in terms of conservation for the northern or for the whole island for our indigenous species. We have, I think, a couple of years ago, it showed 1 in 5 of our indigenous species are endangered or at risk of being endangered, and only the red squirrel is in the zoo. So there's a lot of indigenous work that can be done here that will benefit our ecosystem. Barnaby lion, as Nuala McAllister was talking about, we have one Barnaby lion in the zoo. That's not conservation, that's preservation. And preservation doesn't help the animal individually, it doesn't help the species. Right, conservation needs breed to release. We cannot release the Barnaby lion. We cannot release the giraffes. They have no place on Cave Hill. There is better sanctuaries available, not zoos, sanctuaries with wide open spaces, safety, security, in better climates, better habitats. And if animals can be bred to be conserved there, that's where they should be.
Tim?
However, we're not suggesting that the animals are moved from Belfast Zoo to those places because, unfortunately, a lot of these animals are incarcerated for life. They won't survive.
Why is Dublin Zoo, Tim Hedgley, a lot more popular in terms of visitor numbers than Belfast Zoo?
I think the reason is because Dublin Zoo is primarily on the level and there is an issue of accessibility for people with disabilities. Belfast Zoo is quite a difficult zoo to walk around. You know, because we're on the side of a hill, it probably wasn't the best place to put a zoo originally. Giants Park or Duncrew, although it wasn't reclaimed then. You know, when you have a visitor attraction on the level, it makes life so much easier for visitors to attend. But, you know, I have to, your previous speaker there is certainly talking some sense because Conor from Sinn Féin, you asked him loads of questions, but there was no substance. You know, when you asked him why things should be changed and why things should go, and quite simply no answers. I do accept that getting experts to look at the zoo, if the council feel that's necessary, they've done it before and they've done it many, many times. And every time the experts have come back and said, yes, you know, there need to be some minor changes. But the zoo is a very important piece of the fabric of society of Northern Ireland. I watched the programme.
Is that true,
night.
Tim? If you've got a zoo costing £2.5 million a year with the visitor numbers, you know, not fantastic, if you've got a zoo where in this day and age there are even more questions about caging animals, and then you're saying it's part of our society. Well,
it is part of our society. But if anybody saw the programme last night and what has happened in Australia, close to a million species destroyed and wiped out. You know, none of us know what is coming our way. And it's, you know, the breeding programme that the zoo has done. I know there was one mention of the Barnaby lion, but there are so many other species that have been reproduced. And, you know, world first, I think the Bongo just recently had a calf. Absolutely extraordinary.
A Bongo? What's a Bongo?
It's a bit of a cross between a deer and an antelope-type creature. It looks like a deer.
In Belfast,
yes.
So, what will happen to that Bongo? Will that spend its entire life in Belfast Zoo? And if so, how will that help the species?
Well, it's obvious that it will help the species. It can be then transported for breeding, which is what the Belfast Zoo does. They don't just keep an animal and breed it.
Yeah, they breed for exchange. They breed for preservation. Rarely do they breed for conservation. So breeding, people talk about breeding programs, and that does on paper sound good. But breeding, what's going to happen to the animals that are bred? Are they going to spend their lives in zoos so that people can go and look at them? Or are they going to be transported to genuine conservation sites in natural climates where they can see out their lives? And if that is the case, why can't we just breed them in those natural climates, in those natural habitats, without having them in Belfast Zoo? Zoos can serve a purpose. Currently, Belfast Zoo does not serve the purpose it should be doing. It should be doing conservation work, not preservation work. And clever wording like breeding programs and conservation, you know, they're misleading, and they're deliberately misleading.
I would disagree that they are deliberately misleading. I think you're being very unfair to the zoo. And one of the problems is here, Belfast City Council will not allow members of the zoo to enter into this debate to support the zoo. But we should have city councillors here supporting the zoo and giving out.
I'm supporting the zoo. Tim, I'm supporting the zoo. 100% I'm behind the zoo. What I'm not behind is the incarceration of animals that do not belong, do not thrive in this climate under the guise of conservation. We can have a zoo. The only thing that fundamentally, I have a proposal that I put into the council, and I've spoken to Connor about it in various political parties. I have a proposal that covers every concern people have. The only fundamental change will be the species of animal in the zoo. And that exposes the myth. If you can address every concern, which I believe that I can, it exposes the myth that people just want the big ticket animals. And here's the problem with the big ticket animals. People aren't going to see them when they're there. So what you're talking about, the investment and the changes, is to make it more attractive to people to go to the zoo, but still keep the animals there at their expense. So that's wrong.
Jenny in Belfast. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Stephen. I'm with that guy for the conservation. I think we should keep the zoo open. Look at this place now. You know, we've done Titanic, we've done Game of Thrones, we've got the tourists coming in. We could make the best zoo with the best conservation programme, put a load of money into it, get it a big tourist attraction, save species like all those wee koalas and all the other animals in Australia, and, you know, breed them and put them in the right environments like that guy's talking about.
I haven't been to the zoo in years. I might go up and have a wee tiddle around.
That zoo needs a lot of money spent on it, and it's not a good place in the hill. Why can't we just build a whole new zoo? And, you know, all
because it costs money.
I know, but if we get enough tourists in, going to the zoo and make it a major tourist attraction and make it one of the best conservation programs ever, we could get lots of people in there and it wouldn't cost us anything because we'd get the money back and we'd save loads of animals.
Jenny, thank you. Dan and Anna Long. Good morning, Dan and Anna Long.
Hello, Stephen.
I'm Stephen in Belfast.
Tell me this, what other business would be allowed to trade if it was losing £2.5 million a year? If it was a school, they would close it. If it was a hospital, they would close it.
No, they wouldn't.
And there's no compensating for wild animals in a cage. You take wolves. Wolves maybe travel 15 or 20 kilometres a night to hunt and forage, and they're in Belfast Zoo plodding about in a, what, 50-foot square pen. I don't see how that is any advantage to wild animals. They are what they are, wild animals. If you go on to David Attenborough or National Geographic, you will see animals from their born to their suckle to their wing to their taught how to hunt to their taught how to look after themselves right through. You don't see that in a zoo. You see an animal walking about, you don't see it in its natural habitat or anything else.
Dan, thank you. We've been talking to the leader of the Alliance Party, Naomi Long, about this issue, and I asked her, does she think the zoo should be closed?
I'm not a great fan of zoos as a kind of go-see attraction where animals are penned up in cages and so on and enclosures and people just go and look at them. So I'm not a huge fan of that. But I also recognise the zoos much more than that. And so, I mean, as a Belfast City Councillor for many years, I looked at the issue of the zoo because it comes up periodically. And what I saw was the work that the people in the zoo do in terms of conservation. Many of the animals that they deal with in the zoo, they're not taken from the wild, they're rescue animals, and they're often there and would have nowhere else to go. And the idea that any of the animals in Belfast Zoo would be moving from Belfast Zoo to be released into the wild is just not...
Costs us $2.5 million a year.
It does, and you know, a lot of the services that the council provides cost money, Stephen, but I think we have a duty to care for those animals that are in our care at the moment. We have a duty to make sure that those animals are well looked after. But there is a conservation element to the work that the zoo does, which I believe is very valuable. And so if you were asking me today, should we build a zoo? My answer to that would be no, because it's not something
I'm asking. Should we shut down the zoo?
But we have a zoo, and therefore I think that we should look very carefully at the impact that it would have on the current set of animals that we have and on the conservation work of the zoo before we take any precipitative decisions. And I wouldn't take it based purely on cost. I think we need to look at the wider picture of the contribution that the zoo makes to the city.
What about Shea Long? Have you got a wee cat or a wee dog? A wee Jack Russell? Yes. I imagine you with a wee Chihuahua.
No, I have a Jack Russell cross. We don't know what she is. Half Jack Russell, half gorgeous. We have no idea.
Is that Jack Russell a Protestant or a Catholic?
Oh, that Jack Russell is cross community, as you would expect. That's why it's a cross. Of course it's a cross breed. What else in an Alliance Party household, Stephen? So, I mean, you know, I'm an animal lover, and I don't want to see animals in environments that are not natural for them. But some of these animals were born into captivity or were rescued from worse circumstances. And I think you've got to take that into account when you're making those decisions.
Final question of the day. What do you call your Jack Russell?
Daisy.
Davy?
Daisy.
Oh, Daisy.
Daisy, like the flower.
I see. Daisy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daisy, yeah. She's quite famous, actually. She looks a bit like Boris Johnson's dog, Dylan.
One of my friends used to have a snake called Dylan, but that's another story. Naomi, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
No problem, Stephen. You're welcome. Bye.
That's Naomi Long. I think the story of the day is Vinny has been saying to me, what does Shea mean? Why did you say Shea Long? Goodness sake, did that kid not do basic French? Just not as educated as me, young Vincent, are you? Peter in Belfast. Good morning, Peter.
Well, I think that's Daniel Murphy's. I have a dog, and I have a back in the background.
Is there a chance to turn the radio off in the background?
There's actually a customer in the background.
Well, tell them to shut up. You're on the radio.
Right. Well, Stephen, what I'm awesome is, if I've got a dog out the back and I have it in a cage, like a run, is that cruel? Does he class that as cruel?
Is it cruel to have a dog caged in the back?
And you know, you take it out once a day in the lead. I usually take it out as well. I take my tortoise out, put a lead on it, and we'll go for a wee walk.
Do you indeed?
Is that? Yeah.
And what joke are you making this morning that I'm not getting?
Well, it's not a joke. And what I'm saying is, when are they going to stop, when they're going to say having a dog or having a bird in a cage in the house is going to be cruel? You know what I mean?
Well, what do you think? Like, do you think leaving a dog caged in a back garden while you're out to work all day is humane? I'd love a dog. The reason I don't have a dog is because I'm not at home very much. The bloody thing would be lonely.
No, but I'm saying thousands of people are probably on the radio about closing the zoo, and they're doing the exact same with their own animals.
Well, and I think you raise a very good point, Peter, and I would be asking those people, let's see if we can hear from any of them on the phones today, for those people who they have a pet, they have a dog or a cat for their enjoyment. We're coming away from the zoo discussion now. And they leave the dog in the house all day on their own. Are they trying to tell me the dog's happy sitting on its own all day until the owner comes back? If mum and dad or the kids go out to school, mum and dad goes out to work, and the wee dog's sitting there all on its own all day? Is that cruel? Maybe you can let me know. 030-30-80-55-55. I don't have a pet. I don't have a dog or a cat. So you can all let me know through your own experiences. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, the zoo. The problem is with the zoo is it's inaccessible for disabled people. It's too high. You're walking up a hill to walk back down round it.
Yeah.
It's just that is the main reason why the zoo is not getting its full use.
And not much can do about that, David, given the terrain they've got.
Well, you're absolutely right. But whenever they decided to spend the money on revamping the zoo from the old zoo, they should have thought about, instead of keeping it in the same location, they should have thought about putting it on flatter ground so that people could walk around it, disabled and able-bodied, would be able to enjoy it and walk around it. Instead, it's on a hill, and it's just impossible for anybody, even for people which have a slight impediment on walking. It's impossible. There's nothing there for them to incentive even to go up there to walk around and see the animals. And that's why you're not saying tourism is coming and the industry is getting bigger. And the hope is that we can try and attract more people to tourism to the zoo. But again, it's where it is. It's on a hill. It should never have been there.
David, thanks for calling us. Thanks, mate. Thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. It's 18 minutes to 10, 030-30-80-55-55. Don't forget Nolan Live's back on telly tomorrow night at 10:40 on BBC One. If you want tickets for the rest of the series, nolan@bbc.co.uk.
What are you shouting at me with your button there?
I'm shouting.
See when he goes quiet and it sounds like he's just dropped off the air. He's pressing a little button in here which cuts off his mic and then shouts at me, what do you want?
Well, I know that you have dogs.
Yes.
Don't you? How many?
Two.
Two?
Yes. I had seven before Christmas because they had puppies. If anyone ever tells you that a six-month-old pup can't do any harm, they're wrong. Because
what type of dog is it?
Bears a poodle.
A poodle.
He's a toy poodle. And I have like a Maltese Shih Tzu cross called Winnie. She's 3 or 4, 3 and a half. They're both rescue dogs. But anyway, he came as a rescue pup. And you can't get them neutered before they're a certain age.
You carry them in a little handbag, don't
no,
you?
No, they're not that small.
When you're going shopping.
Yeah, so we were told, don't worry, he can't do any damage. He's only 5 months old, 6 months old. And then suddenly Winnie got very fat and she had five puppies. Anyway, what are you asking me that for?
Are you not worried about the dog doing a doo-doo in your handbag with your lipstick and all in it if you're carrying it around?
Is that the best you can do, really?
Your makeup.
You see, what happened was I said we've got a tape to go into now. That's and right. Then you've got two guests.
That's right.
And you have to get it done before 10, so now he's trying to faff about to try and I have more work to do.
No, what I'm genuinely interested in is whether people believe it is cruel to go out to work during the day and leave a dog
all day
in a house.
Well, it's not. I can't imagine that the dog would like it very much. Some dogs will be used to it, but your dogs love attention, just like you. So if you locked you in a room and didn't let you talk to anyone all day or earn any money, you would probably be a bit upset.
Depends how much food you left in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I could be down on my hands and knees eating out of that bowl, no problem.
Read your script.
Right, 030-30-80-55-55 is the number to call this morning. You can let me know what you think about having pets at home while you're all out to work.